गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवरधारे यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 30 टेक्स्ट 35 यत्रेड्यन्ते कथा मृष्टास् तृष्णाय प्रशमो यथा निर्वैरं यत्र भूतेषु नोद्वेगो यत्र कश्चन यत्रेड्यन्ते कथा मृष्टास् तृष्णाय प्रशमो यतः निर्वैरं यत्र भूतेषु नोद्वेगो यत्र कश्चन यत्रेड्यन्ते कथा मृष्टास् तृष्णाय प्रशमो यतः निर्वैरं यत्र भूतेषु नोद्वेगो यत्र कश्चन त्रेदन्ते कथामिष्टस् तृष्णाय प्रशमो यतः निर्वैरं यत्र भूतेषु नोद्वेगो यत्र कश्चन यत्रेड्यन्ते ಯತ್ರೇಡ್ಯಂತೆ ಕಥಾಮೃಷ್ಟ ತೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಪ್ರಶಮೋಯತ ನಿರ್ವೈರಂ ಯತ್ರ ಭೂತೇಷು ನೋ ದ್ವೇಗೋ ಯತ್ರ ಕಶ್ಚನ. ಯತ್ರೇಡ್ಯಂತೆ ಕಥಾಮೃಷ್ಟಾಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಪ್ರಶಮೋ ಯತಃ ನಿರ್ವೈರಂ ಯತ್ರ ಭೂತೇಷು ನೋ ದ್ವೇಗೋ ಯತ್ರ ಕಶ್ಚನ. ಲೇಡೀಸ್ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್. ಯತ್ರೇಡ್ಯಂತೆ ಕಥಾಮೃಷ್ಟಾಸ್ ತೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಪ್ರಶಮೋ ಯತಃ ನಿರ್ವೈರಂ ಯತ್ರ ಭೂತೇಷು ನೋ ದ್ವೇಗೋ ಯತ್ರ ಕಶ್ಚನ. ಯತ್ರೇಡ್ಯಂತೆ ಕಥಾಮೃಷ್ಟಾಸ್ ತೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಪ್ರಶಮೋ ಯತಃ ವೈರಂ ಯತ್ರ ಭೂತೇಷು ನೋದ್ವೇಗೋ ಯತ್ರ ಕಶ್ಚನ. ಯತ್ರ ವೈರ್ ಈಡ್ಯಂತೆ ಆರ್ ವರ್ಷಿಪ್ಡ್ ಆರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ಡ್ ಕಥಾ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಮೃಷ್ಟಾ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ತೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಆಫ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಕರಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರಶಮಃ ಸ್ಯಾಟಿಸ್ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಷನ್ ಯತಃ ಬೈ ವಿಚ್ ನಿರ್ವೈರಂ ನಾನ್ ಎನ್ವಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ ಯತ್ರ ವೇರ್ ಭೂತೇಷು ಅಮಾಂಗ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟೀಸ್ ನ ನಾಟ್ ಉದ್ವೇಗ ಫಿಯರ್ ಯತ್ರ ವೇರ್ ಕಶ್ಚನ any. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Whenever pure topics of the transcendental world are discussed, the members of the audience forget all kinds of material hankerings, at least for the time being. Not only that, but they are no longer envious of one another, nor do they suffer from anxiety or fear. Purport. Vaikuntha means without anxiety, and the material world means full of anxiety. As stated by Prahlad Maharaja, Sada samudvigna dhyam asat grahat. The living entities who have accepted this material world as a residence are full of anxiety. A place immediately becomes Vaikuntha whenever the holy topics of the personality of Godhead are discussed by pure devotees. This is the process of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, chanting and hearing about the Supreme Lord Vishnu. As the Supreme Lord Himself confirms, Naham tishthami Vaikunthe yoginam hridayeshuva tatra tishthami Narada yatra gayanti madbhaktah. My dear Narada, actually I do not reside in my abode Vaikuntha, nor do I reside within the hearts of the yogis, but I reside in that place where my pure devotees chant my holy name and discuss my form, pastimes and qualities. Because of the presence of the Lord in the form of the transcendental vibration, the Vaikuntha atmosphere is evoked. This atmosphere is without fear and anxiety. One living entity does not fear another. By hearing the holy names and glories of the Lord, a person executes pious activities. Shrunvatam svakatha krishna punya shravana kirtanah. Thus his material hankerings immediately stop. This Sankirtan movement started by the Society for Krishna Consciousness is meant for creating Vaikuntha, the transcendental world that is without anxiety, even in this material world. The method is the propagation of the Shravanam Kirtanam process throughout the world. In the material world, everyone is envious of his fellow man. Animalistic envy exists in human society as long as there is no performance of Sankirtan Yajna, the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Prachetas therefore decided to remain always in the society of devotees, and they considered that to be the highest benediction possible in human life. Om Ajnana Tamirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shravasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. The suffering or the maladies of material existence are described or covered here in this verse. First is Trishna. Trishna means material hankering. Second is Vairam. Vairam is animosity or envy. Udvega. Udvega means disturbed or fearful, anxiety. So the human beings, in fact every living entity, responds to these things. It responds to envy, it responds to anxiety, and it responds to hankering. Including the human being. But the human being does it in a very gross and irritating sort of way. Because the animals, they express their animosity without harming the rest of community. When a tiger wants to express his animosity towards the deer, he doesn't go and disturb the elephants. He doesn't go and disturb the birds. He doesn't go and disturb the monkeys. He's just after the deer. And when he's done, he's done. He doesn't hold grudge. He doesn't sit there and brood. Doesn't contemplate throughout the day, how can I finish the deer? What plans can I make to really finish all the deer in the jungle? He doesn't think like that. In fact, the tiger can drink water from the same source of water without having a problem. Except when he's hungry, then the animosity kicks in. Of course, the deer don't hang out with the tigers. But you see that the animosity is very focused or limited. The human being's not like that. The human being does things that has a lot of what's called collateral damage. Not only is the object of envy, fear, or anxiety, and all of that harmed, but the whole surrounding is harmed. So the human being's envy has very drastic effects. So there's a very important principle that by discussion of pure topics about Krishna's name, form, pastimes, qualities, these hankerings go away, or these difficulties go away. This means multiple things. First, that this is the only way. Second, there is no other way. Right? And the third is, if this is not done properly, then one will not find relief. Another aspect of this is, without Krishna in the center, without pure topics of hearing and chanting in the center, the difficulties of the heart cannot be removed. A very important principle that's implicit in this is that we don't have to go solving our problems on a one-to-one basis. Meaning, I have envy, so I have a particular track in which I'm going to solve my envy. I have anxiety, so I'm going to take out a different path and work on my anxiety. I have hankerings, I have material hankerings, and I'm going to have a different track and solve that. If that's the case, we'll be busy for eternity trying to solve our problems. The way to solve is given. Whatever is our difficulty in the heart, the only thing to do is to hear and chant. Yasyam vai shruyamanayam krishne paramapuruṣe bhaktir utpadyate pumsa shokha moha bhaya apaha. Apaha means burning away or quenching. First canto, 7th chapter. This is Vyasadeva's realization. Text 7. So the same thing is being spoken, a little differently, but same thing, same message. So Prabhupada says, Vaikuntha means without anxiety. Kuntha is anxiety. Heart is in this very, very disturbed condition. Anxiety about future, anxiety about my condition right now, anxiety about the specific situation I'm dealing with like right now. Not only in general, for in general means, oh, I am in this ashram, what's going to be my situation? That's the present. The anxiety about the future is, oh, I don't know how things will manifest, what should I do? This is anxiety about the future. And then there is very specific anxiety about a specific situation we might be dealing with right now. And this is constant, because after one situation is gone, 5 minutes later something else happens and a new situation that we are anxious about. It's constant. This is Kunta. It's interesting, I'll come to that later. So this material world is a place of Kunta, anxiety. So to remove anxiety, many people try different things. And they think that, my anxiety has been removed. Because they try a material solution. With material solution, the anxiety may be delayed, or may be delayed, or it's still there, but we don't know that it's there. It's even more dangerous. Dukkhaushadam tadapi dukkham. That the material solution sometimes is even more painful than the problem itself. Because we adopt something, for example, there is some situation and we have to get out of that situation. It's difficult. So some people may speak a lie. This is just good. May speak a lie just to avert that situation. But that lie itself may create bigger problems than the actual problem that the one is facing. It's called dukkhaushadam tadapi dukkham. So whatever solution one picks up, if it is material, that creates even more problems. So the only way kuntha can be removed is transcendence, the atmosphere of transcendence, which means the atmosphere of hearing and chanting. This is true. As soon as there is some suffering in the heart, the first thing to do is to hear or chant. That removes the clutter. So here it says Vaikuntha. Then Prahlad Maharaj gives us a warning. Sada samudvigna dhyam asat grahat. Asat grahat means those who are holding on to asat. Holding on to asat means convinced that material solutions will help me. For such a person, sada samudvigna. Samudvigna means problems, difficulties, harassment by the material energy. And this is not once or twice, sada. Always. So then, Prabhupada tells us that a place immediately becomes Vaikuntha, even if it is in the material world, if there is hearing and chanting about Vishnu. And it's confirmed, but the Lord says, I don't stay in Vaikuntha. I don't stay in the heart of the yogis, but I'm happily there where the devotees are chanting my name. So in the process of hearing and chanting, there is presence of Krishna. And Krishna does not have hankering, anxiety, envy. Doesn't have that. So in Krishna's presence, all of that is removed from our heart. So here Prabhupada says, this atmosphere is without fear and anxiety. One living entity does not fear another. Envy has two characteristics. One, it causes pain for ourselves as we are trying to cause pain for another. And the second is, we are always in fear. What is someone else going to do to me? It makes us insecure. Part of that insecurity is, we cannot trust anyone. I don't know. I don't know if that person is really thinking about my welfare. I don't know. Even if we don't think that the person is thinking about my welfare, we might be concerned, what if someone backstabs me? What if someone betrays me? These are all manifestations of envy. Living entities are fearful of each other. And envy is such a quality that is really terrible. So he says, thus his material hankerings immediately stop. So we're going to take these three separately. First of all, hankering, trishnaya. Trishna means this excessive thirst or excessive hankering. One of the issues with this excessive hankering is that it blinds us to what might be the potential pitfalls if we were to pursue that hankering. Usually the word trishna is used in context of a deer following a mirage. The thirst is so intense that the deer is convinced that that mirage, that there is water there. And it cannot consider the pitfall that he's just going to keep following and following and following without getting that water, and he may die. But that doesn't matter to him. What's more important is the satisfaction of this urge. Trishna is used in that context. So there might be material hankerings, wanting some situation, wanting some thing. And it can blind the person to such degree that that completely clouds any good sense. In fact, it even clouds any good advice. Duryodhana was hankering after being called the emperor of the world. He got fantastic advice, but it didn't matter. He didn't take that advice. In fact, he became angry of whoever gave him advice, such advice. I'm going to speak about Kaikeyi in the context of envy, but hankering. She was hankering after that sense that Dasharatha Maharaj should give my son the kingdom. And she did not even consider the pitfall that this will completely displease the king. In fact, he might even die being separated from Lord Ramachandra. It didn't matter. What mattered was, will my word be carried out? Will my desire be fulfilled? In fact, by her desire, the entire Ayodhya was put into suffering, but did not matter. This is selfishness. Part of hankering is that it makes a person so selfish that they cannot consider how it is hurting others. Therefore, living in a community has certain nuances. It makes us stop and think, hey, how is this going to affect others? Supposed to make us think like that. This is why living in a community has its advantages. We will not talk about disadvantages, because there aren't any. The advantages are that when you live in a community or whatever unit called family or association of devotees or whatever community, it makes us think about how my activities or actions will impact others. It is supposed to do that. Yet people transgress that boundary. Why? Because the hankering is very strong. The second is anxiety. Naturally, wherever there is hankering, there is anxiety, because hankering cannot be satisfied. Right? Few days ago, we heard this verse from Bhagavad Gita. Dushpurena analena cha. It is like a fire that doesn't matter how much fuel you feed it, it can consume. And it keeps on consuming. This is hankering. So there is anxiety, constant anxiety, because it's not satisfying. The situation is not satisfying. And then there is enviousness. Animalistic envy exists in human society. Animalistic envy, he says animalistic envy, because animals don't consider, they're not thoughtful. Animal is called mriga. Mriga means just a beast. And human is called manishi. Manishi means thoughtful. But nowadays human beings are called manishi only in name. Sometimes we chastise, not even a manishi, not even a human being, meaning you're not even thoughtful, you're not considerate. A human being is a human being only when he or she is considerate. Thinking, whoa, what will happen if I do and say these things? But human being, his or her envy is so intense that it can destroy, like I said, not just the object, but the whole surrounding, and they don't care. It's called kala. Kala means envy or disturbance. So the antidote for this poison is hearing and chanting. Envy comes out when there is another contender or perception of a contender, or there's competition. When the consciousness is, I want something that others want, then we're competing for the same thing. Then it actually feeds envy. Because I see my objective different from your objective. When you put Krishna in the center, that envy is removed, because both of us or all of us are working for the same objective. So when we hear and chant about Krishna, it puts Krishna in the center and removes us from that center. So this pastime of Lord Chaitanya passing through the forest of Jharikhanda has significance, because Lord Chaitanya was very special teaching in that pastime. So he was traveling with Balabhadra Bhattacharya. He wanted to go from Jagannath Puri to Vrindavan, and he was passing through different forests. So as he was passing through one day, and as he was passing through the forest, he would chant. And whatever animals he would meet, they would become transformed. Lord Chaitanya one day was chanting and walking through the forest. A tiger was lying on the ground. He touched the tiger with his feet and said, "Chant Krishna's name." And the tiger immediately started chanting Hare Krishna. One day he was in a lake, chanting his Gayatri, murmuring his Gayatri mantras, and the herd of mad elephants showed up, frolicking in water. I mean, generally, even a gentle elephant is a little scary. It was just huge. What to speak of mad elephants? We have reference to mad elephant from Vaishnava Aparad context, because mad elephants, they're just too clumsy and they destroy everything. So a whole herd of mad elephants showed up, frolicking in the water. Lord Chaitanya splashed water on them and said, "Chant Hare Krishna. Stop your nonsense. Chant Hare Krishna." And that's it. They got completely transformed just by the touch of that water. And some elephants were rolling on the ground. Some elephants were swooning and they were loudly chanting Hare Krishna, rolling, swooning, chanting. Not making some noise. They were chanting Hare Krishna. And as he would pass through, Balabhadra Bhattacharya was fearful. What if something happens to Lord Chaitanya? Lord Chaitanya was not at all fearful. Just walked right through. One day he was walking and the whole set of animals showed up. And they all like that. And Lord Chaitanya fearlessly walked right through them. And as he walked through them, tigers, deer, elephant, they all stepped aside and let him pass. And as he was going through, he was reciting some verses that glorifies the deer and bucks in Vrindavan. And they were all happy. In fact, as he was walking through Jarikanda, Chaitanya Charitamrita says does, doe, a deer, female deer, showed up. And they were all walking along with him. And as they followed him, as he was chanting, they followed him. The next was tigers. They showed up. Usually tigers and deer don't stay together. But it didn't matter. The attraction to Lord Chaitanya was so intense and his magnetic power. The tigers also followed him. And as he started loudly singing and dancing, the tigers and deer started singing and dancing. And there, it's not like the tigers were dancing there and the deer was dancing there. They were dancing together. Is described, they were holding hands, they were embracing and kissing each other. I mean, it's unheard of. Tigers don't kiss deer, they eat them. But Lord Chaitanya could make it happen. So, this is the potency of Lord Chaitanya, or by his giving the holy name to the tigers and to the deer. So even in our Jharikhand pastime is supposed to signify, along with Lord Chaitanya's very special capacities to make anyone chant, there's a lesson that in the community of human beings, there are some tiger-like people, and there are some deer-like people, there are some snake-like people, there are some bird-like people. We have some unique eccentricities. But we all have a place in the Harinam Sankirtan. Not only do we have a place, we have very close association with each other, without fear, without the, what's he going to do to me, without all of that, if chanted properly. If hearing and chanting is done properly, the verse says, the audience feels relief from these things. We forget. We forget animosity, we forget envy, we forget anxiety, we forget hankering, we forget all of that and just try to awaken and remember Krishna. That is what is the meaning of, that's how it should be done. Now, our practical experience is not like that. That's an indicator, that's a flag. That our hearing and chanting is not proper. If you're feeling animosity, if you're feeling anxiety, if you're feeling hankering, still, after having the Hare Krishna mantra, after having the association, after having, you know, knowledge about Krishna's form and pastimes and qualities, still if there is, something's not right. What's not right is the hearing and chanting is not right. So hearing is not just that the speaker is there and we're sitting, or the spiritual master's voice is playing in MP3 format and we are in some other format. That's not hearing. We are actually unformatted, completely fragmented disc. That's not hearing. Is active. Active hearing is receiving. And receiving is that message must be applied. Only then it has been received. If we cannot apply, then we haven't received it. Chanting. This is, then these things will go. So in the interim, while we may have pure devotional syndrome, or pure devotee syndrome, we don't have pure devotion yet, there is this phase. In that phase, proper tolerance is necessary. We have to tolerate our own shortcomings, and more importantly, the shortcomings of others. We can be intolerant to our own shortcomings, and we should be tolerant to others' shortcomings. Because everyone is in the process, and it will take time. But yet, hearing and chanting must be done properly. That's the message here. Animalistic envy exists in human society as long as there is no performance of Sankirtan Yajna. So the Prachetas, it's important that the Prachetas are offering this prayer, because the Prachetas, they don't have envy. There were, how many of them? 10,000 or 1,000? 10,000, right? There were 10,000 bodies, but one, I don't want to say one soul, but you get the idea. They had only one intention. There were not 10,000 intentions. One intention. That's fantastic. That's unity. In fact, the Lord appeared because of their being pleased by their unity. So many different bodies, yet the same intention, the same goal, the same purpose. And they are praying. We understand that when we hear and chant, there is no envy, there is no animosity, nirvaira. A pure devotee is called Nirvaira, has no animosity against anyone. What is the greatest enemy of the living entity? Lust. Right? Krishna says, Vairinam. Envy is the greatest, or lust is the greatest enemy. So one who has won over his enemies, or won over his enemies, is one who has conquered lust. That lust is hankering. This hankering creates all other problems. The fact that someone is hankering to be Krishna, that's the primordial hankering. Why only Krishna? Why not me? So the way to hanker, or the way to use this in Krishna's service, hankering, is to hanker for Krishna's affection, is to hanker for Krishna's grace, is to hanker for the devotee's affection, to hanker for the devotee's grace. Then the heart becomes free, and we can hear without difficulties. So, some thoughts. Want to add, share something? Must have missed something. I forgot to talk about Kaikeyi.
In the community of devotees, or any community for that matter, they have certain like community standards.
Certain community standards.
Standards, right. You know, devotional standards, etiquette standards, and so on. And one would feel the obligation to kind of meet the standard. So there are community standards, devotional standards, etiquette standards, dress codes, even so many things. And one feels obliged to meet the standard also, generally.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, generally. So then when we're suffering with a lot of these things, we don't want to appear that we're becoming below the devotional standard or something like that. So in my experience, what will happen is a duplicity starts to develop as a result. Because I don't want to I was viewed in such a nice way at one point, now I'm struggling. And if devotees shall view me in another light due to my struggle, then better to try to hide it. And so I develop, due to these things, then duplicity starts to develop. And although I'm participating in that hearing chanting program, I'm not benefiting from it because of the crookedness that's going on in the heart. So how does one get over this? It seems like a very hard thing to get over.
Yeah, it's not that crookedness develops. It's always there. It just manifests. It's important to consider what is it that we are looking for anyway in life. If the what we are looking for is pure devotional service, then we'll do whatever it takes to come back to the standard of purity or in on the track of purity, and for which we'll take help, we'll seek guidance, whatever. If that's not what we're looking for, then we'll have to come up with something else that fits the bill for that moment. Here's the problem on a principle level, that the conditioned living entity cannot think long term. This cannot see. In fact, it's blind, right? That's the whole idea. That the lust, because it covers the vision of a person, one cannot see long term. One can only see this close. Even if they see that close, that would be nice, but they basically cannot see anything. They're like bats. Blind. Blind during the day. And fully, you know, all vision is there at night time. Yanisha sarvabhutanam. So lust is such a thick covering that it covers the vision to something very, very short term. And that very short term is like right here, right now. Not even in the proper sense of the present. Just this problem. And this problem can completely cloud my entire consciousness. That I can't consider anything. I can't see anything. I can't even hear anything. I can't think about future. Oh, forget about future. What about now? When this problem is solved, there's a next one right here. And so a person is busy trying to work these things. So they're afraid. So the anxiety here, the word used for anxiety is udvega. Udvega is the disturbance in the heart. The disturbance is serious bodily conception. So that's what they have to respond to, right? I began with everyone responds to Ahara Nidra Bhai Maithuna. That's the response. But the response we pick is itself the cause of more problem. So unless there is hearing, we won't know what options to pick. And it's just such a treacherous thing that when there is such anxiety, our hearing is impaired. Isn't that so horrible? That's the first thing that gets impaired when we have a problem, is our hearing. When that is the only medicine. Wow, that's terrible. So a conditioned soul is really in deep soup. That's the very... what's it called? I forget, the double whammy of the material energy. Not only does she slam us, but also makes the hearing capacity go away. So you have no solution. It doesn't open the door for any solution. Just bam, bam. Finish. Next. Very treacherous, Mataji. Yeah, someone else?
Sometimes a fault that I have manifests in a way that is a problem for another devotee or other devotees.
Correct. And it does. Not just your case, all of our cases.
Pardon?
It's true for everyone.
So it can be helpful when another devotee can approach me and help me deal with it.
Correct.
So, you know, it's helpful when a devotee can, instead of ignoring it, do something to help me. So can you talk a little about that dynamic and how it works successfully or unsuccessfully?
Well, because we're all moving together as one unit, or at least the desired, the stated objective is to move together as one unit. We have to work out our adjustments, our adjusting problems, right? I am from this background and this culture, you're from this background and that culture, I have this eccentricity and you have that eccentricity, and you know, you're a square peg, I'm a round hole, or whatever is it, and we don't know how to fit in, we just don't know, but we're trying to work it out so we are all moving in the same direction. That's the stated objective. When we say, I want to be a devotee and I want to be in an ashram, that's the stated objective. Because if that's not the stated objective, the ashram's not the right place. Maybe somewhere else, where we can peacefully, you know, ride solo. So it's important that in a community we can tell each other, Prabhu, please pay attention to this. At the same time, we should also be ready to hear when someone tells us, Prabhu, take care of this. Oh, thank you. It works both ways. Generally, we see one or the other. We see that usually everyone's very happy to tell us what to work on. We call it preaching. But we are not ready to hear. So there's heavy broadcast, but no reception. In an insecure community, in an overconfident community, that's the problem. In a very insecure community, there is tell me, but no response. Heavy reception or wanting to receive, but no broadcast. The right balance is proper broadcast and proper reception. Same thing, say in different language. In a community, if the members are too independent-minded, I don't need anyone's guidance, I can do what I like, blah, the community suffers. The other side is a community that is overly dependent. The members are so dependent on each other that they cannot do anything without the other. Oh, today I cannot drink water because, you know, that Prabhu was not there or did not tell me to drink water, or, oh, I did not know I'm supposed to, whatever. Heavily dependent. Like if the guru didn't say certain things, he didn't understand that that's supposed to be done. And these things suffer and fail. A vibrant community is where there is interdependence. There's a good balance of initiative and a good balance of dependence. Let's say the same thing differently. When it is principle-centered, when a community is principle-centered, it thrives. So Jai Jagannath Prabhu used the language, when the community has certain standards, whatever, dress standards, moral standards, ethical standards, spiritual standards, etiquette standards, principles. When there are principles that everyone lives by, there is harmony. If one doesn't understand principles properly, then there is discord, like this confusion. And if each person interprets the principle their own way, whatever they like, there's discord, anarchy. So it's an art to be in a to make a harmonious community. It's not easy. Therefore, democracy suffers. I mean, this is really crazy. It's a stupid idea. Because it's not in harmonious. It's this side, confusion. And dictatorship is here. Proper is monarchy. Where there's a leader, then there is Brahmana community, etc. I mean, that's not your question, but you get the idea. It's principles. So yes, as being in a community, we should tap each other on the shoulder. I noticed this. What does that mean? How can we help? Do you need our help like that? That's my phone. Edward?
My question was on a point you made about being tolerant of others, especially when we're in this very neophyte conditioned state, but intolerant of our own shortcomings. And I was wondering if you could speak a little more about just being intolerant of our own shortcomings while understanding it requires patience.
Take a whip and beat ourselves every day because we're not pure devotees. No. Intolerant in this sense that it inspires us to move in the direction of purity. Do not settle for, hey, this is great. So far, you know, the first two leaves of my Bhakti Lata are manifest, Klesha Agni, Shubhada. I don't want the whole fruit and the big tree and all that. I'm fine with these two leaves. Good enough for me. Complacence. It's all right. Life's going on, it's all right, you know. I get up in the morning, I go for the program, I come back for the evening program, I do a little seva, I get nice prasadam, things are all right, the devotees are cool, I'm cool. It doesn't last like that. And to not be satisfied with that, to go deeper into the realms of purity. Can I improve what I'm doing to a much deeper level? How can I do that? Can I make my interactions sweeter? Can I offer my service better? Can I chant more attentively? Can I apply myself better? This is being intolerant. The other way of being intolerant is called lamentation or pity. What to do? I don't know what to do. I'm so horrible, Prabhu, I don't know what to do. There's lamentation. This is terrible. That makes it worse. Bhakta Matthew, watch out.
Is it possible to be envious of materialistic people that actually fuels our devotional service in a condescending, egotistical way?
Well, that's called a severely loaded question. Can you give me an example of what you're thinking about?
Like just to just kind of be like so negative towards everything because we're in devotional service and we get kind of like self-righteous. So then we just look at everything's bad and what I'm doing is good.
And the question is what? Can that help our Krishna consciousness?
Can that happen or can, I mean...
Can that happen? Yes, right. It happens. This is, not that you care, but just for the heck of it. In marketing research, when you write questions in a survey, there is something called loaded questions. For example, the question, do you still beat your wife? Is a loaded question. Because what do you say? If you say yes, you've got it. If you say no, it means you were beating your wife. So it's a loaded question. It's a wrong question. So, in your statement, there is seems like that you're conveying something. Perhaps that's your experience, that somebody is so negative about everything and everybody, and that's envy. But that comes out as pure devotional service. Is that the problem? Is that what you're trying to convey? Okay. Did you hear yesterday's class? Okay. In yesterday's class, there was a particular statement that appreciating non-devotees or criticizing non-devotees, both are really not fruitful engagements. Appreciating non-devotees, what are we appreciating? Because whatever good quality we are appreciating vanishes when the circumstances change. And if you are criticizing non-devotees, what are we criticizing? We are, or those who are not devotees, already are beaten by the modes of nature. So the criticism, we should understand it as a expression of, my gosh, I was in that place. My gosh, I was as blind and arrogant and clouded. And I am so grateful that a very magnanimous soul picked me up. Yeah? There's a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Emona Durmati. And in that song he says, he's praying to Lord Chaitanya, Tavak Nija Jan Kono Mahajane. Someone who's very confidential, your very personal associate, servant, some great personality, Mahajane. He picked me up from this condition. Is self-righteousness all right? No, it's not all right. Can we recognize self-righteousness? Perhaps not. You understand? I'll say it differently. If we busy ourselves figuring out what is the anartha another person has, then we'll be busy for eternity. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to face the Mayavadis. And if you notice, Mayavadis don't criticize anyone. Or at least that's what they say. Their whole thing is, hey, you're cool, I'm cool, that's great. Because yato mat tadopat, you can do what you like, I do what I like, and you're cool and I'm cool. So they do come across as really pacifists and peace-loving. Okay. But Bhaktisiddhanta was not like that. Bhaktisiddhanta said, this is nonsense, this is garbage. So they told him, oh, how can you criticize? He said, no, only Vaishnavas can criticize. When they said, no, this is wrong, he said, you cannot criticize. Now you're acting against your ideology. You cannot criticize. I can criticize. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta was not a self-righteous, arrogant personality. It is described that even Krishna criticizes. If you see in the Bhagavad Gita, there are a couple of places where Krishna criticizes, actually more than a couple of places, right? First of all, he criticizes Arjuna, his dearmost friend. You're talking like you're very educated, you're fool number one. What did it do to Arjuna? It woke him up. Another place Krishna says, Mudha, Naradama, Maya Aparata Jnana, Asurim Bhava. Whoa. You're supposed to be God. And then 2 minutes later you say, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu. What's going on? Do you like people or you don't like people? You understand? What Krishna is criticizing is the mentality. Asurim Bhava. Mentality. So to criticize mentality is all right. To criticize a person is not all right. We can criticize. That is terrible mentality. We can criticize each other's behaviors and say, this behavior is not all right. This behavior is un-Vaishnava-like. But we cannot tell a person, you are a demon. We don't have the capacity to say to someone, you're a demon. But we can say behavior is not okay. So criticism has its place. In fact, it's very important. But criticism with vengeance or criticism with poison or envy, that's not okay. This is from the side of the giving side. Now for the bystander, like you're saying, let's suppose you're the bystander because you're noticing something. For the bystander to sit there and evaluate that is also dangerous. You know why? Because by evaluating it, innocently perhaps, we place ourselves higher than the persons and we're looking down. Then we are culpable of the same self-righteous problem that we are trying to indicate into others. And that's a very, very treacherous place. It's unfortunate. Yesterday we heard that example. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj came and told Srila Prabhupada, in your society people are racist. Prabhupada says, terrible, that's very bad. But if you are thinking like that too, then your problem, if you are thinking yourself as the victim, that's your problem too. You're part of it. Right? If you like, go read the chapter in first canto of Bhagavatam. I think it's the 17th or 18th chapter, where Parikshit Maharaj is having a conversation with Dharma the bull and cow, Mother Earth, Dharani. In that, the bull tells the cow, don't think of yourself as a victim. Because when you identify yourself as a victim, you are part of the problem too. Yeah? Very, very interesting conversation between the bull and the cow. It's to not think of ourselves as victims. Because in that victim position, we are evaluating, we are judging. That's the same, I'm repeating myself. We are liable for the same malady that we are identifying. We are liable to operate on the same platform that we are protesting against. Jai Jagannath would like to add something. Yeah, it's been a recurring theme. Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't mind. Does the Assembly of Vaishnavas mind? No. I found a chart.
Thank you. Ki jai. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.